with you from God's Word, which we're going to look at right now as well. And I'm going to need some help with this. We've got all ages in here, but I'm going to need some help to actually experience this part of God's Word. And I'm going to need a few characters to help me as we go. So I've got some dress-ups, I've got some prizes for participation, and we'll see how we go in making of this whole thing. Okay, it starts off like this. At a time, King Herod caused terrible suffering for some members of the church. He ordered soldiers to cut off the head of James, the brother of John. Now, we're not going to act out that bit because the teenage boys will like reacting that too much. But we'll need some actors for the next bit. When Herod saw that this pleased the Jewish people, he had Peter arrested during the festival of thin bread. So we need some soldiers. I need four soldiers. You need to come to the front here if you're happy to be a volunteer. There is prizes for participation at the end. We got one soldier here. Excellent. Good. Two soldiers. You don't want to be a soldier. Put that on. Soldier. You need to be able to get your head through here, I suppose. Oh, we got another soldier here. Here we go. Excellent. That fits you. If it fits, wear it. Okay. Another soldier?
That one.
Yeah, one sec. Now, you're this one. Okay, you're the colourful soldier.
Yay.
There you go. Right here. So we've got our four soldiers. How about you stand at the front, soldiers, four soldiers? Yep, that's right. Oh, you can tie it up. You'll work that out. Now, it was in the Festival of Thin Bread. Do you know what that means for us? Oh, well, that is a hot crust bun. Do you want me to stand on it to make it thin?
No.
No, okay. Someone can come up here. Do you want to open this? You can share with anyone, invite anyone else up. It was during kind of the Passover Easter time for us. So that's what it was. See what you get when you come out the front, eh? It's amazing. Anyone else can join Brookie if you want to share her hot cross bun. Do you want to share it out with anyone who wants? Why not? We need a Peter. Who's going to be a Peter? Come on, we need a Peter. Oh, we have Peter. Peter, we have a Peter. Come on, Peter. Oh, you got. We'll get you another one. This is our Peter. Yeah, you get to wear that.
I used to be that colour.
Yeah, you used to be that colour. Put it on, see if it fits. There you go, you ready? This is Peter, everyone. Yeah! Excellent. Now, Peter often spoke his mind, and he didn't also use the filter sometimes, but that's not you, is it? And Peter was a bold man as well, but let's listen to what happened next. It says, while Peter was being kept in jail. So I need our four people to come over here and put Peter in jail, please. Okay, here's his chains. These are Christmas chains, but he was in chains for Christ. So put those kind of around his hands. Good. Chain him up. And while he was in, they were looking after him in jail. And what happened next? It says here, the night before Peter was put on trial, he was asleep and bound by two chains. So we've got that. The soldiers who were guarding him were on each side. So we need a soldier sleeping beside him. One soldier there, one soldier there. And the other two soldiers, you're guarding the entrance. So no one can get in or out, okay? Yes, that is it. So you, okay? Soldiers, look strong and look like you're awake, not falling asleep. Suddenly, an angel from the Lord appeared. Here's our angel. Yes, right on time, Nathan. Yeah, there you go. I don't know if angels have wings, but do they fit? If they do, see how you have. You can just flap them around. We always think they do, don't they, from the pictures we see. So we've got our angel here, and you appear over here. Yep, come on over here to Peter. Excellent. Ta-da! Suddenly, an angel from the Lord appeared and a light flashed around the cell. The angel poked Peter. Poke him. Very good. I forgot to mention, poked him in the side and woke him up. Then he said, quick, get up. Excellent. The chains fell off his hands. The angel said, get dressed. Oh, here. He needs his cloak. Can you give him that, angel? Pass that on to him. Yep. Yeah, he'll look good in that, won't he? Excellent. He put that on and he said, Peter, did what the angel told him. Now put on your cloak and follow me. Yep, follow him. That's it. Out past the guards. Peter left through there. And they didn't even notice. And then they went up through here. And there's another set of guards. Oh, look, who's going to be our strong guard? There's a guard here, comes past. Another guard here. And there's another set of guards here. And then look, you lead him out past the gate. And he comes out here. And then, what happened next? Peter now realized what had happened, and he said, I am certain that the Lord sent the angel to rescue me from Herod and from everything the Jewish leaders planned to do to me. Then Peter went to the house of Mary. Have we got Mary in the house? Where's Mary? Okay, we've got Mary's good friend over here, Sue. Mary's house. No, you stay in the house. Yeah. Because Mary had her friends here with her. And guess what her friends were doing? They were actually praying together. So all the people around, a bit of prayer, please. Excellent. Good. Excellent. They're praying with Mary. And then Peter knocked on the gate. Yeah, good. We'll make the noise. Good. Peter knocked on the gate. Yes, our angel went now. Thank you. You've done a great job, angel. Peter knocked on the gate, and we need a young lady named Rhoda. I've got something for you. Rhoda. Who's going to be our Rhoda on that side near Mary? Near Mary's house. Do you want to be Rhoda? Okay. Yeah, you put this on. Because Mary, yeah, that's good. Excellent. Now you go to answer the door. Okay. Look out the door. It's Peter. Look, totally surprised. And run back in without opening the door. You forgot to open the door. That's okay, because you're so excited. And you tell everyone. So Peter knocks on the door again. And they finally let him in, and he says, excellent, go in, Peter. Good. Peter goes in. Then he said to them, Peter motioned to them to be quiet. Be quiet in Mary's house there. He's going to tell them exactly what happens and how the Lord led him out of jail. And he also said, tell James and the others what had happened. After that, he left and went somewhere else. So, Peter, you're off. Thank you very much. We're going to hear the rest of the story, and thank you for all our helpers. And Claire will read the rest of the story to us.
All right, we're following on from verse 18. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He had been quarrelling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. Securing the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish.
Let's start in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you that you gave us your word to learn more about you, providing guidance on how we should lead our lives. We pray that there might be something in today's message that we can apply to our lives to become a bit more like you. Amen. So that was very entertaining, and I might even sort of go as far to say that that was a bit more entertaining than the little play act we did in Laos, because we had the kids that were there playing it out, and it was a little bit more formal, but that was a lot of fun. Thanks, Trent, for acting that out visually to get the message across. Okay, so it may seem odd that we're talking about this passage in Acts so soon after celebrating the birth of Christ. So Trent asked me to talk on Acts 12. So during that time, the team was running through a series of talks entitled Decisions Determine Destiny. So the young people that had come in for the course were reflecting on Acts over a number of weeks, and this talk was part of those presentations. So just giving a bit of background, if we look at the first 11 chapters of Acts, portrays the rise of God's grace flowing wider and deeper in fulfillment of Acts 1:8, which we should all know very well in this church, which is, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and at the end to the end of the earth." God's word was reaching the Gentiles. We think of Philip preaching to the Samaritans. We think of the Ethiopian eunuch, along with the conversion of Cornelius and all of his household. Cornelius was a Roman soldier, and he was converted during this period. And of all the good news spreading to Antioch, which is in modern-day Turkey. From Acts 12 onwards, from this excerpt from Acts onwards, the attention shifts from Jerusalem to the Gentile world. So this is a bit of a watershed period in the period after Christ's death. And Antioch was a base from which Paul's missionary journeys were run. So there's a lot happening in this story, as you saw in the little play act. It reads a bit like a boys' or girls' own adventure story: executions, despotic rulers, prison escapes, miraculous answers to prayer. But to Peter and the other followers of Christ, miracles and God's protection were an everyday part of their lives. The weeks and months after and years after Jesus' resurrection must have been an amazing period in which to live. However, it was also a time when things were looking pretty dire for the early Christians. The authorities were moving against them and persecuting some of the leaders of the church, though their power was being threatened by this group of Christians. Herod was a type of leader who would do anything to keep popular with the people of Judea and Caesarea over which he governed. He saw the Christians as being divisive and targeting the apostles specifically. So he targeted the apostles, Jesus' disciples, and arrested James, the brother of John, and executed him. James was the first of the apostles to be executed. His death fulfilled the promise that Jesus made to him and his brother, John, in Mark 10:39, that they would both drink from his cup and share in his baptism. So getting back to Herod, he saw that executing James had pleased the people, so soon after he arrested Peter. But because it was the feast of the unleavened bread or the squashed hot cross bun, he put him in prison. Peter was facing the same fate as James, and his supporters felt helpless to do anything in this situation. They could do nothing in a practical sense. They weren't about to launch a dramatic breakout from prison to help Peter escape. All they could do was pray, and pray they certainly did. Sometimes in these situations we too feel like those early Christians. When we're faced with big challenges in our lives, such as the loss of a relative or a serious illness in the family, rejection by a family because of your beliefs, or unemployment, sometimes all we can do is prayer. And in this story, we see how powerful prayer can be. So, the night before his trial, Peter was sleeping alongside the two guards. Suddenly, the prison cell filled with light and an angel appeared and struck Peter on the side. He asked him to get up and Peter's chains fell off. When I read that, the words of Charles Wesley came back to me, because there's a hymn we used to sing when I was back in a Presbyterian church a lot, which was And Can It Be? And many of you would be familiar with that hymn. It's a great old hymn. The words of that hymn goes something like, I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And I could just picture with that scene from Acts exactly what Charles Wesley would have been thinking. Peter thought he was dreaming. How could this be happening? Peter walked past the guards right to the city gates when miraculously the gates opened. At this point, the angel disappeared and Peter suddenly became wide awake. He was actually free. He said to himself, now for sure I know that the Lord has sent an angel to rescue me from Herod's clutches. So then he went to Mary's house, as we saw, and it's believed that Mary was the mother of Mark, who is the author of the second gospel in the Bible. In doing some further background reading for this talk, I learnt that back in those days, a lot of the people mentioned, the main characters mentioned in Acts, actually had a Roman name and a Jewish name. I didn't know that before I looked into this. So Mark had a Jewish name, John, and he also had a Roman name, Mark. So getting back to the group of people. So the group of people are gathered at Mary's house praying for Peter's release. He knocks on the door and a girl named Rhoda came and heard Peter's voice. She was excited, forgot to let him in. When she told the people that Peter was at the door, they thought she was crazy. So they were praying, but they were a little bit unbelieving that it could actually happen. Peter kept knocking and eventually she let him in. The people inside could not believe that Peter had been freed by an angel, but he told them it was true. Can you imagine the reaction of the group today? Well, there'd be Instagrams and Facebook messages just flying around the world. And I imagine this sort of event would go viral. It would be amazing. But if the Christians wouldn't have publicised the fact that Peter had been miraculously released and was now hanging out at Mary's place, that would have given Herod a tip-off of where he was hiding. The amount of Peter's unexpected appearance is probably an understatement for this group of early Christians. They did not understand yet the power that they had through prayer in God. Could such a miraculous event or escape happen today? Well, the answer is yes. There are several modern-day events very similar to this. I'll relate just one here. So this story comes from a place called Zaire in Africa. And although it does sound a bit like a scene out of the film The Gods Must Be Crazy, it is absolutely true. 5 years ago in Zaire, the Simba rebels invaded a town called Bunia and began arresting and executing anyone they thought were enemies of the revolution. Among those arrested was a pastor named Zebediah Idu. Today, there was to be a celebration to mark the rebel victory. The spiritual leader of the revolution ordered that all the prisoners would be executed in the town square. The next morning, the prisoners were loaded into a truck, but for some reason, the engine would not start. This is where the bit from The Gods Must Be Crazy comes in. So the prisoners were ordered to push the truck all the way to the town square. So you can picture this. The prisoners, they're pushing the truck to their own execution. Very sad, but true. When they arrived, an angry official ordered that all the prisoners would be lined up, count off 1, 2, 1, 2. The number twos were marched back to prison, while the number ones were executed a few minutes later. The number two prisoners wondered why they had been spared. Once back at the prison, Pastor Zebediah shared with them the hope of heaven and eternal life. And that day, 8 prisoners came to the Lord. Just as the pastor finished ministering to them, an excited messenger came to the prison with a message for him. he arrested by mistake and was free to leave. Zebediah returned to his home village, and his house was actually next to the chapel, the church where his congregation met. In the chapel, he found a crowd of believers praying for his safe return. Great rejoicing when he entered the building. So, the power of God and of Peter's God still lives today. So can we go to slide 5, Robbie? So what came of King Herod from this story? Well, you remember that he'd had James executed, and he had Peter in prison intending to execute him as well. But Peter escaped. Of Herod Agrippa, he's looking fairly handsome there, but maybe he wasn't quite so handsome in the flesh. So Herod was angry at the guards, so he had 16 of them executed. So he was quite a brutal ruler as well. It is thought that after the embarrassment of allowing Peter to escape, that he went north to Caesarea, which is north of Jerusalem. So on the map here, we can see Jerusalem here. So Herod Agrippa scurried away up to Caesarea, where he governed his region. If we look at the character of Herod Agrippa, the next slide, Robbie, we get a bit of an understanding of how the ruler, the Roman ruler at the time, varied in his character to the disciples Peter and James. So, as I say, Herod Agrippa came from a long line of rulers. He was based in Jerusalem, but then shifted to Caesarea. It's an accomplishment. So he was a capable administrator, and he managed good relations with the Jews. So, as I said at the beginning, he would do anything to keep in favour with the Jews, but also he was had the political nous to be able to maintain good relations with Rome. Weaknesses and mistakes. So probably one of the worst mistakes he could have made was to murder the Apostle James and imprison Peter. So, but the ultimate mistake he made was that, as we heard in the story, he allowed the people to worship him as a god. So a lesson from his life is, well, probably the key lesson is that those who set themselves against God are doomed to ultimate failure. They're in accepting praise that only God deserves. And family traits, you can see up here some of the contemporaries and family background of Herod. There's some pretty bad family traits amongst those characters. But those family traits can influence children towards greater good or greater evil, in Herod's case. And the key verse from that passage is that immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down and he was eaten by worms and died. That's in verse 23. So we learn that the price we pay for not recognising Jesus is separation from God. We miss out on the awesome plan that God has for us. And Herod certainly missed out on that. Peter's story can help us to understand that if we make a decision to follow Jesus, we are God's children, and we are never alone and without hope. God is in control. In John 14, Jesus promises that he will never abandon us, he will never leave us to our own resources. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. His angels are sent to minister to us today, and we've made this promise in Hebrews. And prayer can bring us amazing power into our lives. 5:16, we're also reminded that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So God gives us our whole life to make a choice, but we don't know when our lives will end. James made a choice to follow Jesus. His choice led to prison and death, but ultimately his reward in heaven, his reward was in heaven for being faithful to God. Peter made a choice that led him to be put in prison, but God had a different path for him than James. God freed him from prison and he went on to preach, teach and baptize and write letters to believers and encourage them when they suffered. He was ultimately crucified upside down, but he knew he was going to heaven. He also made a choice to receive praise and be seen as a god. Felt good at the time, but bad consequences. He rejected God and died a horrible death. Death looked horrible as well, but there is one big difference. Herod's decision to refuse to acknowledge God led him to his eternal torture. James's death led him to eternal life. So, what have you taken away from today's scripture? Maybe it is the better appreciation of the power of prayer, illustrated by Mary and her colleagues at her house, praying for Peter's release. Maybe it's the folly of going against God's plan for your life, or even opposing God, as demonstrated by Herod. It is a better appreciation of the importance of involving God in those important decisions that we all make in life from time to time. Just close in prayer. Lord, for reminding us of the power you bring to our lives through prayer. Thank you that you never leave us to rely on our own strength. In his name, amen.
Amen. I will remind us, to finish off now, we're just going to share a meal that is a historical meal that Jesus had with his followers. But that meal actually had a history over 1,500 years before that too, as God's people were rescued out of Egypt. So it's a long history, right? And his opportunity and his parents or caregivers that are here, this is your opportunity to actually lead those that you've brought and your responsibility to share with them what we're doing here. Because I'm briefly just going to tell us what we're doing and then we're going to share in together. So, you know, I just want to remind you of a few parts of the scriptures. Now, Psalms which we have been looking at, Psalm 43 says this. It talks about, and we looked at it last week as the, can anyone remember? The Siamese Psalm is how I helped you remember it. We remembered, it says there, put your hope in the Lord. This is a meal really that reminds us of the hope that we have in Jesus. And so I encourage you now, those that have their hope in the Lord, this is a meal for us to remember that the hope that we have in Jesus and the future that we have, despite whatever happens on earth, we have a great future. And so put your hope in the Lord. A psalm that is close to that, Psalm 41, says this, verse 4, I'll read it to you. It says, I said, O Lord, have mercy on me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. At this meal, it's a reminder that actually we need to be rescued and we have sinned and we need to be healed of that sin. And so this actually really reminds us of that. So I want to just give you 30 seconds to sit still now and think of the things that you may need to confess, bring forward to the Lord. The family here, we know that we have sinned against you in our word, in our deed, and what we have thought. And we pray, Lord, and ask for your forgiveness once again. We turn back to you for healing, and we pray that you heal us of those sins and remind us of what Jesus has done on the cross in his death and his blood for us. And Lord, I pray that you'll lift our hearts up now as we confess those things. And thank you for your promise. And lift your eyes and lift your hearts to Jesus. And I want to remind you of Psalm 111. We'll be looking at that next week. It's about promise. And there's great promise there. And about covenants is the word. That God covenants and promises to forgive your sins when you confess them. So be assured of that. And last, I want to remind you to praise God for that. And we're going to finish our time by singing praises to him. But right now we'll have time to take the juice and take the bread. There's also a gluten-free option there. And so if you come forward in your family unit, share that with your family when you're ready. So if you haven't already, friends, take this in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your heart. This in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be truly thankful.